Welcome back to Jump Scare. I'm Better Be Deadly.
And I'm Shad Youngblood.
And I'm extremely sick. So my voice is going to probably sound really weird. And you may hear some sniffling and other gross things that are going to come through the mic waves.
That's a horror podcast, so you know.
So beware. This week, we cover 1986 Witchboard.
Which I would play you the trailer for it, but the trailer is extremely boring.
It is, and it's actually one of those terrible trailers that actually shows you bits and pieces of the movie.
Oh, no, it shows you half the movie in the trailer.
Okay, I was trying to be generous. But it's a pretty bad edit. It shows you everything.
It's not a good trailer. It's one of those ones where it's like, hey, let's have lots of just ambient sounds and random noises so you won't know what's going on.
A lot of people back in this time frame when this movie came out actually ripped this movie a new asshole, called it boring, unoriginal. There were so many negative things. But of course, as many of you know, it became a cult classic.
Well, it was also featured on a 2020 did a special in the 80s on horror movies and how they were corrupting the youth and desensitizing you and making everyone into terrible people. And Witchboard was the one they used a lot of scenes from. But they only showed the three most graphic scenes in the movie of people going out the window, when she goes out the window, when the guy gets hit in the face with the axe. They showed only those clips, which is there's only three murders in the whole movie, isn't there?
Huh.
The psychic, the friend.
Spoiler alert.
And the other friend. Yeah, there's three murders in the whole movie.
There's three murders. Yeah, they also said that that's why it was boring, because it's barely anything happens. And then the special effects were really terrible, which I have a fondness for the film. I actually really love this movie, so I can't say too many bad things about it. Dun, dun, dun. I'm going to say a whole bunch of bad things.
But it does have some of the special effects are a little...
Really? You couldn't do any better than that in 1986? They're pretty bad. But, hey, what are you going to do? The film was directed by Kevin Tenney, who also directed... He actually wrote and directed this film. And his directorial debut.
Yep.
And then he went on to go do one of my favorite Halloween movies, Night of the Demons.
Yes, we'll be covering that one in October.
Yeah.
When we do our month of movies that take place on Halloween.
Yes, which I probably own all of them.
Even some of them that are terrible.
Yes, there are definitely some really terrible ones in there. Actually, I'm going to have to say that there are many of them I do not own. Some that I would like to see, and I have not been able to see, but we digress. So here we have Witchboard with Tawny Katan.
Oh, yeah.
Woo!
Everybody's favorite video girl.
Yeah. And
specifically everyone's favorite Whitesnake video girl.
Yeah, who would later go and marry the guy from Whitesnake.
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how she kept coming up in videos.
But it only lasted 2 years. But, it was a Hollywood love.
In rock star years, that's 20, though.
That's cold-blooded.
The fact that they got married at all was a minor miracle. They stopped. That meant they had to stop doing coke and whiskey for a whole day in order to be straight enough to stand up in front of the church.
This is another, turnabout or connection to my movie that I spoke about at another podcast. I think it was two podcasts ago. That's My Boy. If you know and have seen the movie, you know the Tawny Katan reference. So when I see her and her beautiful hair, I love her hair in this. I just love her period. But in this movie, especially later on in the last scenes in the movie, it's they were okay, so we're going to need some hair whipping action. And you are just the woman to do it.
I mean, they saw those Whitesnake videos and were like, damn, we didn't have you writhing around on anything all through this movie. You need to get busy.
We're going to have a Mr. Skins moment. There is a Mr. Skins moment with Tawny Katan later on, way after a lot of things happen. So you have to wait in there for a little while. I'm not going to tell you exactly when exactly it's going to happen.
But you got to hang in there if you want to see her naked.
Yeah, it's, it's fine. It's fine. She's in the shower.
It's kind of a quick scene,
Yeah, it's quick.
I'm surprised they'd had a full-on demon possession sex scene in it.
She probably was like, you know what? I'm only going to be naked on screen. They were like, we have to have her because she's a sex kitten. And then she was like, I don't want to only be known by that. I'm going to actually allow you to have me on screen naked for like 35 seconds.
And then
they were like, okay.
Well, we'll take it.
So, Shad, what were you doing in 1986? Did you see this in the theater?
No, I didn't get to go see it in the theater, but I did get to rent it as soon as it came out on VHS.
Oh my god, what was the VHS cover like?
It's pretty much the same thing as the Blu-ray cover. Oh, okay. They really haven't changed the cover to that over the years. It's one of those ones that stayed the same.
Yeah, well, I was hoping it'd be like a lenticular one, or maybe it was like some like a Ouija board like on it. No,
they did a lot of those weird covers like that for the ripoffs of it that they did straight to video, that witchcraft series.
Oh god, yes.
They did a lot of the lenticular covers. To me, like from having worked in a video store in the 90s, it was like, once you threw like a weird cover on it, it was a terrible movie. If you had like a lenticular cover or like the Frankenhooker one that said, want a date, it was a terrible movie. The only way you were going to get people to rent it was by having some kind of gimmick on the box. My favorite one was the one for the movie called Whore that just had the title covered up and it said, if you can't say it, just see it.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I love the covers to things, like slipcovers. I used to only like collect slipcover films. Like, oh, this comes in a slipcover. I must find the slipcover film and buy it.
We still do that.
No, we don't. We don't do that anymore because they don't make very little slipcovers for DVDs. I'm a big DVD fan. Shad is the Blu-ray lover in the family.
Well, DVD's dead, so.
Okay, well, so is Blu-ray.
Yeah, basically.
One day it's going to be dead very soon. Tomorrow. It's dead tomorrow. It's dead as soon as you buy it. Just like any form of technology.
So, witch board.
Ouija board. Witch board. We saw some of the like outtakes and the movie was supposed to be called...
Ouija.
Ouija board. Ouija.
Just Ouija. Ouija. But apparently the studio's legal department got a little nervous that they might get sued by Parker Brothers for their Ouija board game.
Even though they don't have the rights to the actual game.
To the name Ouija.
Well, to the whole concept of the game.
Yeah, but especially they can't copyright the name because it's already out there. It's like calling a checkerboard. You can't really you can make a checker game, but you can't copyright the checkerboard thing.
And then they switched off the board halfway through the movie.
Yeah, that's why they switched to that weird blue. It looked like the hippie Ouija board.
I actually like all of the, like, not the actual Ouija board. There's only one that, like, really drew me, which was the one that came out, like, the special edition one that came out, I believe, last year. That had some really cool illustrations on it. But I really like, the people that make them from scratch.
Yeah.
Like, they carve in the wood. It's just so beautiful. I would love to own one, but I've had some experiences with the board, so I cannot have it in the house. Oh, wait. That's a lie. We do have it in the house.
Yeah.
But I think I actually gave it away. I think it's gone. Spoiler alert. It's gone. Just kidding. Shad's face is, like, white as a ghost. How dare you give away my Ouija board?
Yeah.
I had so many plans for that.
Yeah. Now I'm going to have to go get a special one and contact it just to find the other one.
Wow.
So witch board. starts off with, got your large, creepy house, and they're having a party at the house, and you've got douchebag McGee, who no one asked to bring a Ouija board to the party, but he brought one anyhow.
Just so you know, it's Stephen Nichols, who, when I saw the film later on in life, probably like mid-90s, I already knew who he was because he played one of the main villains in General Hospital, which is a soap opera, and I loved it so much. He was Stefan Cassadine, and he was an evil.
Oh, that's an evil name.
Yeah, he was evil.
Kind of the name is Stefan.
Yeah, they're evil. He's actually, like, his family is super evil. Till this day, those motherfuckers are still evil. Till this day. They've been rocking it evil style since, like, freaking forever. Like, like early, like mid 90s till now. It's been a long time. Evil Rain is really strong at the General Hospital with the Cassadines. But yeah, he's the good looking guy in the movie. He's very educated. He knows way too much. What does he even do for work? Because I feel like he's like a paranormal investigator. Like he knows everything about fucking ghosts.
I think he was a teacher because he kept saying that she hadn't come to her classes later on.
Oh, yeah, but I thought they were taking the class together.
Maybe they were. It was kind of unclear what they were doing.
Yeah, he was just a wealthy guy that was just roaming around town.
Yeah, in his, like, fancy car.
Everyone in this movie is living way above their means, or maybe they're just all rich. I don't know.
But yeah, for a guy that was a construction worker and she was still in school, they had a really nice apartment for California.
And they only paid $200 a month of rent.
No, that's Roadhouse.
Roadhouse. I think it's just actually his was like $100.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. But everybody lives like insane. And we didn't see this guy's house, but we saw like the psychic that they come over later, who looks like she's like 19 years old, and she's living in California in like a 2-story condo. That's huge, multiple bedrooms. Even in California in the 80s, that would have been probably a couple thousand dollars a month.
Yeah, we'll get to her. We'll get to her in a bit because I have some fandom with her because she was on another show that I love.
He whips out the Ouija board, tells him the rules.
The rules are as follows. Let's get this whole rule book out because I actually made sexy rule book notes for this. The rules of Ouija: a man and a woman both have to handle the board at the same time. The board can only be on their knees. People have to have a clean system. No smoking, no drinking. These are the rules of the Ouija board, a.k.a. Witchcraft, witch board.
So he, of course, is like, hey, Tawny Katane, why don't you just hop over here and use this witch board? Because she may have been the only girl at the party, too.
She actually wasn't the other girl in the party because I remember looking at the other two girls in the party. I believe there's two or three. But I was like, these people are just here for like 5 seconds in the movie and we're never going to see them again. Like, there's barely anyone in the film. It's the main characters and then like the landlord lady who is...
From the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Yeah, I had no idea who that person was. So I was just like, okay. That's just an old lady to me. I figured she looked like she was like in a old ass show. Like she could have been like the mom in the show. Who was she in the show?
She was one of the other writers in the Dick Van Dyke Show. She was one of the like people in the writer's room on that show.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I'm vaguely remembering what that show was about since I was not alive. I was roaming around somewhere spiritually like one of the characters in this movie. So Brandon Sinclair, that's his name.
Wow.
And
that's a douchebag name.
Yeah, so he's fitting the douchebaggery likeness. And he's there imparting his wisdom about the freaking Ouija board. And like he's talking to like a 10-year-old boy named David. And that's who he's been communicating with. Because, you know, there's nothing more sexy or very informative about a grown-ass man that has a lot of money that plays with a Ouija board and speaks to a 10-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Dot, 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 dot. Don't know what was going on there.
Yeah. So he asked Tawny Katane to, let's put the Ouija board on our laps and let's talk to this boy. And Tawny Katane's boyfriend, who is understandably a little on the, questioning side about this whole thing, especially since it's the douchebag McGee is Tawny Katane's ex-boyfriend. He's a little suspicious of the whole thing. So he starts making fun of the whole process and laughing about it. And you get the infamous scene of the Ouija board flying up in the air and away. And the ghost David is mad. So he punches and blows up the tire on Brandon's car, the AKA douchebag McGee. Because he was in control of the board, so he had to take the punishment for the guy being sassy.
Yeah. Let's go back just like 5 seconds. And I just wanted to say that the part when he's talking about the origin of the Ouija board and how it derives from oui and ja, which is French and German for yes. He had a Ted Mosby moment. he had a Ted Mosby moment with the Encyclopedia.
Padia.
Encyclopedia, that's right. Yeah, I couldn't. I was cracking up the whole time during that whole time frame with him talking about that. I'm so sniffly. So, of course, like in all things, the guy, douchebag McGee.
Oh, you Superman. Left out one of the rules. Never use the Ouija board alone.
Oh, yes, yes. That was goes hand in hand with a man and a woman. So it has to be like the yin and the yang, and you can't use it alone. So, Ouija board salesman, Brandon Sinclair, because he looks like he knows everything about this Ouija board. He's wearing like this $800 suit because they go out of their way to say exactly the price of the suit. He gets mad because he thinks like the guy's in on it. Like, how could it have been possible that they're all sitting upstairs on the second floor with the door closed? No one left anyone's like eyes, like everyone's in view, but somehow his tire got punctured by the guy. He's like super upset about it.
Well, maybe he just thought, since, you know, you pissed off the ghost, now you owe me a tire.
Wow. So what do you think, like, okay, so after this whole thing with the whole Ouija, she becomes like super, the Ouija, he leaves the Ouija board behind because, you know, he ran out the house to go check on his like car and the tire. And she becomes obsessed with playing the Ouija board. Like, completely obsessed, and she's talking randomly to this, like, 10-year-old little boy. And at the same time, she's, like, waiting for, like, results from the doctor because she's been feeling a little queasy, quote-unquote.
Yeah. So she thinks she might be pregnant. And they had mentioned a little bit earlier that it's possible sometimes for the ghosts to be reborn and to pick the people that they're reborn to. So she's thinking, hey, maybe this David ghost, he seems like a nice little kid. Maybe he'd like to be reincarnated as my kid.
And let me tell you, he says no, because he does not like her boyfriend, Jim. He really does not like him. And he doesn't want to be part of the family. So she's a little heartbroken. I guess maybe she was just like stalking him. Like, hey, don't you want to be my son? Can you be my son? But not really. Because she was always asking him, like, weird random questions. I'd be asking him, like, what are the lottery numbers? What does it look like over there? Are you playing with a Ouija board on your side and it's, like, the same living? Or are you, like, living on an astral plane? I have so many questions. I would have asked so many other things.
She wasn't concerned about any of that, though. She was just, like, concerned about, you know, did he want to be reborn? And he didn't. So she keeps playing with the Ouija board.
And playing and playing. And, of course, this is when the I don't even know, maybe like the next day, a murder occurs at the construction worksite. Jim is having lunch with his friend. And a couple of moments before then, he informed his friend that he, like, lost his hatchet. It's, like, nowhere to be found. But the camera pans over to the top of the roof. And there it is. You later see that the camera in this film, like, works itself to be the ghost.
Yeah.
So you get the POV, yeah, is the ghost. And it's, like, looming over them, and the friend gets attacked.
They drop a whole load of, just randomly, the rope just breaks and drops a whole load of drywall on him and crushes him.
Yeah, and he dies a terrible death. The guy's distraught for like 5 seconds because I guess he's like devoid of all emotion. He has like a background of like alcoholism in his family, and he's like really introverted in a sense. Like, he doesn't really like have any kind of emotion really. And that's like a big thing because we do find out that Brandon Sinclair is actually Jim's ex, like, best friend.
Yep, and they stopped being friends whenever Tawny Kitaen broke up with Brandon to be with Jim.
Yeah, that didn't sit over well with Brandon. He still held a torch for her, which is why he was coming over to their house with the whole Ouija board thing.
Yeah, I guess he just wanted to hang out.
Yeah, he wanted to hang out. He wanted to call the spirits together and, like, you know, ooh, I'm touching the planchette. We're touching it lightly with their fingertips, and that turns them on. It was just all a ploy just to get her back with the Ouija board. I would feel like if he would have came up with like some amazing revelation for her, maybe she would have been like, oh yes, I need to leave this gym, this construction guy. It's not doing anything for me.
Well, I love how he was supposed to be like, he didn't strike me as a particularly smart guy, but they're like, oh, he was in medical school for a while, then he dropped out to become a construction worker.
Because, you know, that happens. Actually, that does happen, but that's like after years of doing it, and then you're like, it's like one of those crazy stories where like, I was the CEO of a company, and now I sell popcorn on the side of the road, and I'm so much happier.
Yeah, he didn't seem like much of a doctor type to me, but, you know.
Yeah, they kind of have like little doctor jabs, like, later on when she gets into an accident, quote-unquote, a.k.a. attacked by the ghost, and it's like an entity scene minus the rape, and she goes, your diagnosis was correct.
She did have a concussion. Well, that doesn't take a doctor to figure that out. When someone gets knocked against the wall, they pass out. I think they might have a concussion, doctor.
And this is why that motherfucker didn't finish medical school, because he was going to be a terrible doctor.
Yep. He's not going to be good.
They kicked his ass out. They were like, no. You're just too terrible. You got to get out of here. You're not a McSmiley, whatever the fuck his name was. McDreamy. There you go.
That was McDreamy. Wasn't there another one, too?
There was another one. I don't remember the one thing, because I literally saw maybe like two episodes of that, and I'm like, I'm done. I spend too much time watching ER and Scrubs. I can't do another hospital show. I'm out. So, Witchboard, you know, I don't even, for someone's first directorial. Directorial, I can't speak. I can't think. My brain's filled with all kinds of disgusting, sickly things. Not in a good way. It's a pretty decent debut, I guess. I mean, I can't really. I didn't go to film school, so I'm not going to sit here and be like, it was just a terrible, terrible effort.
It was a little bit, I mean, to the critics' point, it was a little slow at the beginning.
It's no Halloween, I mean.
Yeah, it took a little, you're an hour in before really the first murder happens.
You're a ways when, and then there's barely any murders. You would think, you find out in the film, to move forward, because literally just as we've been kind of dragging this along, that's exactly how the movie is. So we're just literally giving you that like real life like experience
of the movie,
because it runs just like this. The film just it gets all weird, because then you find out that it's not the 10-year-old boy doing it the whole time. There actually was a murderer that was going around in the 1930s, a serial killer, killing people with axes. He's wearing like, he looks like the tall man.
Yeah, he's wearing like the old-timey suit. He's got the creepy eyes. He's got the like old-time cannibal look to him, where he's got like the crazy beard and like the crazy eyes. And he's like, oh, my name is Maledictor or whatever it was.
Yeah. It's not Malachi. Yeah, Maledictor.
Malador, or something like that. Yeah, Malador, I think, was the name.
Malador. My name is Malador. What else are you going to be? I mean, what else are you going to be when your name is Malador? I feel like that's just a serial killer name. I don't know.
Yeah, you're just evil at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, super of course, evil. Surprise, he used to live in their house. Oh, he's just been hanging out there all these years waiting for the Ouija board to open up the door.
Yeah, he's like, I have just been sitting here. It's been 50 years. It's been a long 50 years. And I cannot want to get more in Tony Katan's body. That's my whole goal in life right now. Thank you, Ouija board, for coming about and giving me this opportunity.
Yeah. Oh, and we should mention some other little fun things, too. You know that the Brandon Sinclair guy is definitely on the douchebag side, because when he gets in the car, before he even buckles a seatbelt, he makes sure to put on his driving gloves.
Oh, yeah. He does put on his driving gloves.
Because you can't drive without gloves. What are you, a savage?
I'm sure it was a stick shift car. You can't drive a stick shift car without driving gloves. That's like a thing.
Oh, it's a thing? I didn't know.
Yeah, it's a thing. I think when you buy a Jetta, it actually comes with the driving gloves.
Pair of gloves.
Yeah, for sure.
You can't remember what he had. He had like a little Corvette or something, didn't he?
Yeah, he had some fucking fancy bullshit. It looked like a toy car. It was so small.
Yeah.
It was like the Gremlins, like Gizmo's car. That's exactly what it was. It was Gizmo's car. They left it on the lot in the studio. They're like, we'll just use this for this scene of this guy driving around. And they're smoking in the ER. That was pretty. It's like the sign of the times when you can do like crazy shit like that.
Yeah, Jim smokes a lot in the movie. He's smoking everywhere. There's a lot of pinky rings in the movie. Brandon's got a turquoise pinky ring. Jim has an onyx pinky ring. They're like, you can't be a real man in the 80s without a pinky ring.
Would they be considered yuppies? I feel like they would be yuppies, right?
They're kind of. I mean,
they're yuppie-ish. This movie could have been in Portland.
Brandon, definitely. Tawny Katane, yes, because she's, you know, going to school for whatever unspecified thing she's going to school for.
She's going to school for hair whipping.
Apparently. And then, you know, then you got the other guys. Like, he's like the anti-yuppie. He's the one that, you know, he's the guy that's like, oh, no. He's what they would eventually call the hipster because he's too cool to be like the rest of them. He's going to drop out and not become a doctor. He's going to go be a construction worker because that's where life really happens.
And he's going to make beautiful miniature benches for gnomes because gnomes need their own benches.
I was thinking squirrels. He's going to make benches for the squirrels in the park because people have theirs. So he's going to make little squirrel benches.
Wow, that's like, I don't even know what to say about that. I'm just mind blown. And why isn't this a thing? I need to see little mini squirrel benches.
Just like sitting around under the trees.
For real. Coming to a park near you, squirrel benches. There say that go. Like five times, okay, guys? It's not gonna work out for you. Oh my goodness. I love this movie because it's so bad. It's so bad. Then, like, the end fight scene of the film.
We're missing the part where, like, they bring a psychic in to cleanse the house. That doesn't go very well. The psychic gets followed home by the ghost. And this is one of the scenes I always love in the movies where, like, a ghost is chasing someone. They run upstairs and they slam a door. Like, there, now you can't come in here. So the ghost actually goes around the corner, comes in another door to throw the girl out the window. Like, asshole, you're a ghost. Couldn't you just go right through the door and just throw her out the window anyhow? But no, I guess he didn't want to break the door, so he just came around the corner.
No, he did not.
I also love this is one of the only apartments or anything I've ever seen that has a giant razor-sharp sundial out in front of the building. It seems like that's a hazard to people.
They're like, let's put this sundial right here under the window. That's exactly where it needs to go because that's just the best place for it. You know, no one's going to fall out the window and hurt themselves. It's fine.
Yeah, she also got her throat cut by an axe before she was thrown out the window, which seems like overkill.
And this actress, Kathleen Wilhoit, she's actually Liz Danes from Gilmore Girls. That's Luke's sister. And when I saw this movie again, I was like, oh my God, that's Luke's sister. And she looks pretty fucking magical. She's wearing the most amazing jean jacket. It's like a jean jacket mixed with like a charm necklace. Because, you know, those were like really big in the 80s.
She's got charms all over. It's got like fringe, like leather fringe on the back with things tied on the end of it. So it jingle jangles when she walks.
Yeah, I think it's because, you know, she needed to have that constant vibration, you know, around for her, like, chakra. And, you know, she probably had, like, gems and, like, all kinds of, like, crystals attached, you know, to, like, help her tap into the whole, like, psychic thing and, like, also protect her. Which, notice, I think she died after she took the jacket off. I don't think she's wearing the jacket. Is she? No, did the jacket save her?
No, the jacket didn't save her.
No? Then she need to go back and have that remysticalized. I'm just going to make a word up.
Mysticalized?
Yeah, remysticalized.
Yep. Yeah, so you got her creepy murder there. But, like, you know, of course, and of course the axe marks on her neck. Uh-oh, they matched the marks that Jim's axe, the same one that was at the construction scene. After that, Brandon and Jim decide to do a little investigating on their own. They decide to take a fancy trip up the coast in California in his car, and they go to the my favorite store in the place. What was it? Wanda's Witchcraft Emporium.
Yeah, I need to go there. They go.
No, I'm sorry. Wanda's Witchcraft Warehouse.
Where? Oh, yes,
that is. It was all W's. So they get their own Ouija board, and they do a little bit of investigating and discover the true ghost, you know, the one that was the evil serial killer living in the house. They decide to do this on a dock next to a precarious pile of barrels, like you do.
Because this is where David, the little boy, died, and that's where the signal was going to be, like, the strongest to, like, connect with him.
So, of course, and what you can obviously see are the ropes pre-cut. The barrels break. The ropes break holding the barrels, knock Jim and Brandon into the water. Brandon pops back out of the water. Ah, I'm safe. I made it. Oh, no. Axe to the face.
Yeah, right split on the forehead, like, right down.
But then, strangely enough, when he comes out of the water later, when they find the body, he's got the cut the other direction.
He does have to cut the other direction. And also, let me just make a note that they made it a point to show that some time had passed because Jim is knocked out on the dock. And, of course, obviously the audience, Jim doesn't see because he's knocked out. But his friend is, like Shad said, you know, got hatcheted up in the face and, like, thrown in the water. I don't even know how long because they made it a point to, like, show you it had been some time after. Maybe like 20 minutes, maybe a little longer. And then all of a sudden, he's looking for his friend, and he's like, let me wash this blood off my face. And that's when his friend...
In the what looks like the worst pool of water in the world. There's like green moss floating in it. Let me wash this cut I have on my head in this nasty-ass river water.
Yeah, for real, nasty. It's just like, okay, there's going to be leeches or some shit that's going to come out and get you.
There's definitely going to be flesh-eating bacteria in that water.
And Brandon just pops out, like, fucking Jason style.
Grabs a hold of him, yeah, grabs a hold of him, and then is just instantly dead.
Yeah, so he was alive, just chilling for, like, 20 minutes under the water, you know, with hatched face. And then when he sees his friend washing his face, it's like, oh, my last attempt of life, I'm going to grab him. Maybe it was a reaction, like, you know, they say, like, when the dead people die, they have, like, jolts and stuff in their body. But yeah, coincidentally, it grabbed his jacket very conveniently. Yeah.
So then Jim just hops in the car and heads back home to see how Tawny Katane is doing.
Tawny Katane, in this time frame, is doing terrible because she has been repossessed.
By the evil Malador. Jim comes home. She has completely destroyed the apartment. They are never getting that security deposit back.
Fuck no, they're not.
She has clawed the walls, broken all the furniture. Everything is broken.
Everything is broken.
And she's dressed in a man's suit.
Yeah, she looks like she just stepped off like fucking like in that scene in Young Frankenstein in the end when they're doing the show. She looks just like them with the tuxedo and the fucking top hat.
And conveniently, they just happen to be a giant fire axe right outside the door to their apartment.
Just, you know, it was just there.
So she's got that. She's trying to kill Jim with it. They go back and forth. The police bust in. She whips the policeman's ass with a fireplace poker. She's still fighting with Jim. And Jim realizes the only way to stop this is to shoot the Ouija board. I don't even know where to go with that. But Jim takes the cop's gun and puts 6 rounds in the Ouija board. And then, somehow, the last-ditch effort from the ghost pushes Jim out the window of the apartment in the greatest slow-motion fall of all time.
It is my favorite, actually, scene in all of cinema. It is in my top 5.
He's falling very slowly from it, going, and he does, there's no sound, but he's making the no as his arms are slowly waving in the air, and you see him about to hit the car. Oh!
But it fades out, and then there's a whole bunch of people sitting in pews, and you're like, oh no, he's dead. And then they pan over, and it's them getting married,
and
saying, I do, and I do.
And he's in a neck brace.
Yes. And then my favorite part, they go back to the apartment, which is still all fucked up, and the landlord is like sweeping everything up. I'm like, excuse me, this just happened. Okay, so they were clear of all the charges because he was up for like murder. The cop thought that he had murdered all these people, the 3 people. That was the only connection between the 3. And then not only that, But they all of a sudden had all this money to, like, have a fucking wedding. She's, like, in a full dress. They didn't go to the courthouse. This is, like, a church wedding. I mean, I've been married before. You gotta, like, take classes if you're gonna get married in church. Like, it's a whole freaking thing. You can't just wake up and, like, you know what? I was just, like, repossessed yesterday. Your ass fell out fucking window. You know, smashed a car. Let's get married. That's what I gotta do right now.
That's apparently exactly what happened.
That's exactly what happened in the movie. And then the movie... Oh, and then the movie ends with one of the ultimate jump scares of all time.
The Ouija board's laid in the trash. I'm like, do you think that thing still works? The little planchette flies up over the yes. Dun, dun, dun!
Yeah, it's worse than the jump scare from, what is that freaking movie? It's not Sinister. No, yeah, Sinister. That's the one with the kids, right? And Ethan Hawke?
Yes.
Yeah, Sinister 2. Worst jump scare ever. Like, the ending of that movie, he just jumps out of the... I couldn't do it. It's just like that, but with a planchette.
So, jump scare count in this movie. We've got planchette jump scares. We've got psychic jump scares.
Yeah, we got a psychic jump scare, planchette jump scare. We have the jump scare of the friend... jumping out Jason style out of the lake.
Yep.
Towards his friend.
So there's quite a few jump scares in the movie, but there's not as many as I would have thought, to be quite honest. They were pretty restrained for an 80s movie.
Yeah, they were pretty restrained. And, you know, if he had to make this movie not as good, but then make Night of the Demons, which I actually like the sequel to, It's fun. They're fun movies. There's not to be taken seriously. But, I wish Angela would invite me to her party. Like, where the fuck is my invitation? I'm, like, still waiting. Still hasn't come up.
But, yeah, Witchboard's one of those ones that... It's not the greatest movie that there is, but it's a lot of fun. And especially if you watch it as a kid, you have, like, really fond memories of it. When you watch it now as an adult, you're like, no, it's not as good as I remembered, but it's still pretty good.
Yeah, Chad hadn't seen it in a long time. I have seen it recently. I try to watch it at least once a year because I really enjoyed that film. The guy's really creepy. You know, you got Toni Kattan with her whipping her hair everywhere. Then you have, like, just such unique people and the guy from General Hospital. There's so many morsels, delicious morsels for me in the film. That's why I've seen it so many times. But it's definitely fun to watch. I can't even imagine watching it. Like, if I had never seen it and this was the first time I've watched it, I can't even pretend to have that thought because I've seen it too many times. I can't even be impartial about it. Like, it was a terrible movie.
All right, so on your knife scale, how many knives are you giving it?
I'm going to give it 2.5 knives. After all that love that I just said from the movie, I'm only going to give it 2.5 knives.
See, I was going to give it 3 just out for nostalgia.
Wow, 3 for you. A half a knife extra for nostalgia?
Yeah.
Wow, that's where they get you. They didn't get me that for the new Poltergeist movie, I have to say.
Well, by nostalgia, I meant Toni Kattan's boobs.
Oh, okay. That's fine. We're going to give it 2.5 knives and... the other half is a boob.
Yeah.
So two knives and a half and a half boob is what we're giving the film. Oh, can we also give it half? Oh, no, that would be 3.5 stars. Never mind. I was getting a whiplash of hair.
That's part of it. That all just contributes. The boobs, the hair, all of it, the extra half knife, that's for all of that.
Yeah, it goes for the whole category. You know, this is actually, we've been on a witch hunt, but not in that bad, you know, way.
Yeah.
Like in a good way where we're watching.
We've done a lot of witches. We're going to have to break it up and do a non-witch movie next.
Yeah, we're going to do The Witches of Eastwick. Oh, wait, no.
No.
Okay, we're going to do The Craft.
No.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so we'll have to figure that out later.
All right, I guess. We're not going to do The Worst Witch. Whoa! That's one of my choices for October, even though it's not a horror movie, but I love the film.
I did finally see Teen Witch, though.
You did? What did you think? Now, okay, since this is a witch episode, I'm just going to ask you, just go on and tell me. It's not going to hurt my feelings, because it is on my top 5, like witch movies of all time. What did you think about it?
I thought it was a lot of fun. It's hilarious how you think, like, nowadays they would never get away with making that movie. because they're like, oh, she's 15. She's just going to go out in the woods and have unprotected sex with this guy. Eh, that's fine.
Yeah, it's a hot scene, but it's not.
It's probably normal. No problems with that.
But you know what's crazy? You put on the CW now, or like Freeform, and you're watching teenagers that are like at the same age. They're like doing drugs. They're having like beer parties. It's like Gossip Girl. Like everyone's crazy and doing crazy shit they're not supposed to be doing, but they're teenagers. But they're doing it. So yeah. It's just like, I feel like maybe Teen Witch was like the stepping stone to having all the crazy teen fucking shows that we have now where all these teens are doing like...
It's weird because the movies, they seem like they're real conservative about what they want to show teenagers doing that, but the TV shows are like, nah, fuck it, they can just do whatever. They can go snort coke off strippers, whatever.
Yeah, that's true. Teen Witch, just love it so much. It's one of those, I can't tell you how much I love it. We love it. I love it so much that we actually saw it in the theater recently. And it was great. We drove 3 hours down to Miami just to catch this movie. And, it was well worth it. It was great to see it on the big screen. And yeah, Teen Witch, which we probably are not going to, no, I didn't work that in. I said, we're not going
to. I got it. It wasn't subtle.
We will not be discussing this movie any further, because if I had to choose between Teen Witch and The Worst Witch to do in October, actually one is set in Halloween, so the other one's not. So there you go. Problem solved. The end of the witches is now coming to an end. That's my beautiful sentence of the day, along with all the other ones, because I have fog brain, which is a real disease, and it's when you have so much mucus in your body systems that it fogs your brain. Okay. Yeah. Was that a little much for you? Are you like all freaked out now?
No, I'm just saying, okay, I'm agreeing with you.
Thank you so much for joining us again on Covering Witchboard. We saw our Shout Factory Blu-ray edition.
Yep.
And it's actually on Tubi. Or is it Vudu? No, it's on Vudu.
It's on Vudu as well, if you want to check it out.
And so are the... I think in one of the sequels is also on Vudu.
Yeah, I'll take a look and see. I'd like to see the sequel. I've never actually seen any of the sequels. I'm sure they're terrible, but I would like to see them anyhow.
There's like 5.
No, that's Witchcraft. Witchboard, there's only like one. There's only 2 sequels.
Is there? Okay.
Yeah.
We got to see this Witchcraft movie, because there's so many of them. Is it like Emmanuel? Is it like one of those weird...
Yeah, all they are is softcore porn.
Oh, okay. We will definitely be watching that and not reporting anything we see.
Yeah, and there's like 13 or 14 of them, last count I had.
We're going to have to take off a whole 4 days of work to have a massive marathon. Thank you so much, and stay tuned to the horror, guys.
And now, folks, it's time to say goodnight. We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.